It's something all of us should desire. And yet in the Bible this morning, there's a verse that tells us exactly what the will of God is. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Now there are some things about which we may wonder, but there is one thing we can know for certain, and that is that God's will is for you and for me this morning, no matter what's going on around us, that we would be thankful to Him and that we would honor Him from our heart. And so this verse that we read a moment ago is not a suggestion. It is a commandment based upon the fact that it is the will of God that in everything we give thanks. Now, who wants to be honest this morning and say, "Pastor Chapel, sometimes it's hard to give thanks for certain things." Anybody want to be honest enough about that? Sometimes it's hard, but it's always right. I believe that's why our first president, George Washington, made a proclamation to all Americans. And he said, "I do recommend that to be devoted by the people of these states, each of us should give thanks for the great and glorious God, who is the author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, and that we may unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country." I believe our first president, George Washington, was not only a born-again Christian man, but he was a man who had studied the Bible enough to know what the will of God was. And it was the will of God that all Americans would be a thankful people. Johnny Erickson Tata, a quadriplegic author, wrote these words, "Giving thanks is not a matter of feeling thankful. It is a matter of obedience." So many Christians today do what feels right to them. They are thankful when things are feeling pretty good. But God says, "I don't want you simply to give me your thanks when things are feeling good for you. I want you to just be in the practice of realizing that I'm good to you all of the time." And God says, "In everything, give thanks." I want to speak to you this morning on this subject. Thank you, Lord. I believe this morning, as we enter this week, this should be a week where we are giving thanks to the Lord in a very unique and in a very educated kind of a way as we follow the teachings of the Word of God. Notice, first of all, this morning, the foundation of gratitude. Those of you that are following in the outline, I want you to see with me today that there's a reason a Christian in a wheelchair or with sickness or with trial can still give thanks. There's a foundation in the life of a Christian that other men and women do not possess. There's some foundational truth that we understand that enables us to give thanks all the time. Notice the foundation listed here in the first place is the salvation of the Lord. It is His salvation that allows us to give thanks. Listen, this morning, this service is not all about you and it's not all about me. It's all about Him. And it's because of Him that we gather here this morning. And it's He alone who can save us from our sin. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, these simple words, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Paul thought about salvation as a gift, and by the way, it is a gift. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when you think about what it took to purchase that gift, that Jesus Christ would die upon a cross and shed His blood, that He would allow Roman soldiers to place a thorny crown upon His brow and thrust a spear through His side, and that He would do that voluntarily for you and for me, and that His blood became the atonement for sin, then we must say this morning with the Apostle Paul, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." 1 Corinthians 15:57. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Mrs. Hudson, I'll never forget hearing your husband not only preach there in North Carolina, but then sing that song, "I'm on the winning side." And someone might wonder, how could someone so sick with cancer and under such a burden sing, "I'm on the winning side"? Because, ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus Christ is your Savior, you are always on the winning side. That's why I put the verse in your notes this morning, 1 Corinthians 15:57. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Some of you this morning are bearing some heavy burdens, and I've been praying for you. But I want to remind you this morning that in Christ, there is victory to be found. No matter what happens, no matter what someone may do, no matter what sickness may come, we are on the winning side. In fact, turn, if you would, back to Psalm 95 this morning and verse number 1. Psalm 95 and Psalm 100. We'll be at both of those in this message this morning. Psalm 95 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all kings. And I believe he is a great God because he is the rock of our salvation. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I thank God that as a young man on April the 5th, 1972, 4289 Yerba Buena Way in San Jose, California, when I knelt down there and accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I received the greatest gift that any person could ever receive. I was thinking this past week about my wife too, Brother Jim, and thanking God for Terry and these 23 years that God's allowed us to serve together. And I was thinking about the way that my wife came to know Christ as Savior. She was not raised in a Christian home, though her mom's saved now and here this morning. But she was not raised in a Christian home. She was raised also in a Catholic upbringing and not always in church. And there was a day when a man came by her house there off of Ford Road in San Jose, California, and knocked on the door and said, "Tomorrow, we'd like to have you ride our Sunday school bus, and you can come and be with all the other boys and girls and learn about Jesus." And they offered her some type of food if she'd come, and she got a little bit interested in maybe coming to church on the bus. But her dad wasn't really up to it, and sometimes when he drank, he was not as friendly and kind as he could have been. And he said, "I'm not going to let you go to that church." And so the bus came the next day, but she couldn't ride. But thank God there was a loving man. Larry Harper was his name. He worked for General Electric, but that wasn't his real calling in life. His real calling in life was serving Jesus. And so he came the next Saturday and knocked on the door again. He said, "Want to ride the bus tomorrow? There'll be some food and some fun. You'll hear about Jesus." And she wanted to come so badly, but again, her dad wouldn't let her ride the bus. And as a seventh grade girl, her heart was so heavy, she wanted to go to church. Thank God, on the third day, the third Saturday, that bus captain came back and he invited her again. And the next morning, by the grace of God, she was allowed to go to Sunday school. She went to Sunday school on the bus. After Sunday school was over, she thought it was all over. She went back to the bus and waited for someone to take her home. She didn't realize there was something called church after Sunday school. And one of the ushers came and said, "What are you doing on this bus? You need to go to church." And she went into church, and for the first time, she heard about a place called heaven where Jesus lives. And she heard about a place called hell where those without Christ will spend all of eternity. And in her heart, she knew that she needed Jesus as her Savior. She knew she did not want to spend eternity in hell. She wanted to know more about how she could be in heaven. But she was too afraid when they stood and gave the invitation to walk to the front at the end. And so she didn't walk down to the front. But thank God that Tuesday night, someone came over to her house. And someone opened up the Bible and told her about a gift that even a little bus kid could enjoy, even a little bus child could receive. You didn't have to be raised up in a church. You didn't have to have all the benefits of that. If you would, by faith, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, they told her that you could receive this gift of salvation. And my wife, as a seventh grade girl, prayed to receive Christ as her Savior. I know she's thankful for that gift. I'm thankful for that gift. I hope you're thankful for the gift of salvation today. It's the foundation of our gratitude. And if you've never accepted Christ as Savior, I would encourage you this morning to put your faith in Jesus Christ alone as your Savior, the one who will take you to heaven for all of eternity. Romans 6:17 says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you." Sometimes people say, "Why at Lancaster Baptist they make so much about doctrine? I wish they'd make more about people." I want to tell you something, friend. Without the doctrine of Christ, people don't get saved. And you'll see that verse there in your notes. But God be thanked. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from them, from the heart, that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. I'm simply thanking God this morning that someone showed me the doctrine that all men are sinners. Someone showed me the doctrine that Jesus shed his blood. Someone showed me the doctrine that Jesus rose again on the third day. And when I understood it, by faith I received it into my heart and I was saved. And I simply say the foundation of our gratitude is our salvation. Quickly, it's secondly our security. God offers security to every believer. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things." By the way, this verse helped me as a young Christian. It might help you. You might want to see it in your notes and underline it in your Bible. Sometimes the devil will fight you in the issue in the area of salvation and eternal security. Here's a verse that helped me. "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Listen now, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Paul said, "I know whom I have believed." By the way, do you know whom you have believed? He's talking about the Lord. He said, I put my trust not in a church, not in the baptistry. I have believed on the Lord, and I am persuaded. I am fully convinced that He, the Lord, not the church, the Lord is able to keep that which I've committed. Now think about it. When someone accepts Christ as Savior, what are they committing to the Lord? They're not committing to the Lord just their well-being. They're committing their whole soul, their life, their eternal destiny. And Paul said, I'm convinced that He is able to keep that which I put into that safe deposit box. God alone has the key. No one can take my soul from Him. He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him until that day when He comes again. I'm glad that being saved is not up to my own merit. Now, how many of you, to be honest, would say, there's been a time in my life since I accepted Christ as my Savior that I have sinned at least one time? How many wives would say, I know of several others my husband probably forgetting right now. Aren't you glad that being saved isn't dependent upon your always being perfect? Aren't you thankful that the perfect Son of God saved your soul, you see? And because of His salvation and because of His security, we always have a reason to give thanks. Not only His salvation and His security, but quickly, His steadfastness. Lamentations 3:22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because of His compassions which fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That's why every one of us as His children need to be rooted and grounded in Christ and abounding with thanksgiving in Him. The foundation of gratitude is the finished work of the cross. And when Jesus is your Savior, you've always got something to be thankful for. But notice secondly this morning, the focus of gratitude. As we enter this week of Thanksgiving, what is the focus? And I know what a lot of men are focusing on. Football. And a lot of ladies are focusing on the right turkey and food. And those are all wonderful things. But yeah, what are we really focusing on this week? What are some things God wants us to focus on? I want you to see, first of all, that we must focus our gratitude and be grateful, first of all, for the Lord. Listen, not for what He does, but for who He is. Now let's turn to one more chapter, Psalm 100. And this one, many of you men might want to remember. Put a little card here in your Bible, Psalm 100. Maybe this would be a Thanksgiving for some of you when you'd gather your family around and read the Bible for a few minutes before you eat. Maybe you'd pray a prayer of thanks. This would be the year to start a Christian tradition in your home. Maybe for some of you, even with unsaved relatives, you'd say, if you don't mind, we'd like to just take a moment and put a perspective on this that's important to our family. And so here's something that maybe you can use this week, Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. By the way, that's why we give thanks. There's no such thing as a self-made man. It's He that has made us and not we ourselves. And we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with, what's it say? Thanksgiving. And into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. Now here we see that the Lord is good. And His mercy endureth to all generations. And so we must focus on the Lord this week. And above all the other things, the football, the turkey, the family issues, all the other things need to be secondary to the Lord and His goodness in saving us. Isaiah 42 and verse 8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. That's why Baptists do not pray to saints. That's why we do not have statues all around the auditorium this morning. That's why we simply will not elevate idolatry in that way. Why? Because the Lord deserves all the praise and the glory. Amen. Oh, there's nothing wrong with giving thanks to someone that's a blessing in your life. But let's remember that above all else, we must glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking this past week about a missionary friend of mine. Brother Ed Bordell is his name. And about this time last year, Brother Bordell called me. He said, Pastor Chapel, he said, you know, our son Edward's had cancer now for many years. And he made it to the age of 14. And he said he's been very sick recently. And he said, Pastor Chapel, he said, Edward called me aside. And though he couldn't speak very well, he told me some things today that he wanted at his funeral. And he's requesting that you would come and speak at the funeral. And he said, Edward has given me some instructions. He said, for example, he told me he wants to be buried in an orange shirt so that when people walk by the casket, they'll think of brightness and joy and the glory of the Lord. He said his 14-year-old son said that he wanted certain songs sung at his funeral, and one of the songs he wanted sung was Victory in Jesus. He said, I want everybody to know that because of Jesus, I have victory. And then he said this. He said, Brother Chappell, Edward asked me if you would read this verse at the funeral. He said the verse he wanted you to read was Nahum 1:7. And I put it in your notes this morning because I think some of us need to be reminded of it today. Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he that knoweth them, he knoweth them that trust in him. The Lord is good. This 14-year-old boy wanted a preacher to stand up and stand over the casket and say on the day of his funeral, the Lord is good. And I want to tell you something, friends. The Lord is good. And yet so many times I deal with folks and it just seems they're not able to see how good he really is. And sometimes you'll sit there and you'll talk, and if you'll think about what you're saying with friends or loved ones, after a while it's 30 minutes or 40 minutes of what's wrong and what's wrong and what's wrong and what's wrong. And I'm just simply here to say, hey, this is a week to remember. There's a lot of good in the Lord. In fact, if we're really focused on the Lord, it just changes our whole perspective on life. And so we need this morning to be grateful for the Lord. And then secondly, we need to be grateful for the Lord's provision. Surely we should. And we should remember that every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And we need to first give thanks to the Lord for who he is, and secondly give thanks to the Lord for what he does. And I'm often convicted when I think about the Lord's Supper. And this Tuesday night, not Wednesday night, this Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, we'll have the Lord's Supper. It's going to be a special time. We have a wonderful service together as we enter this Thanksgiving week. And when I think about the Lord's Supper, there are so many things that amaze me. One thing that always amazes me is that Judas Iscariot was there, and how that Jesus still loved him. That always amazes me. Another thing that amazes me is this. It says in 1 Corinthians 11:24, and when he had given thanks. And when he had given thanks. Now think of this for a moment. Jesus Christ is the creator of the world. The Bible says in the book of Colossians chapter 1 that he is upholding all things, that he is the preeminent one. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the word God there is the Hebrew word Elohim, which means the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is not a Johnny-come-lately prophet, as some of the cults would say. Jesus Christ is the eternally pre-existent Son of God. And because of that, he spoke the worlds into existence. And you say, why is that significant? It is significant because the same one who created the wheat that made the wafer, and the same one who created the grape from which the grape juice was provided, is now giving thanks for that which he was about to eat or partake of. And if Jesus, the Creator, gives thanks for it, how much more, folks, should we give thanks for what God gives to us? You see, he's been so good to us. I heard about an atheist that was walking through the forest, and he was just marveling at all of the accidents that had been created by evolution. He was just amazed with all of the mutations that had formed into trees and animals and rocks and rivers. And he was just enjoying his walk. And as he was walking alongside the river, he heard a rustling in the bushes behind him. He turned around, and there was a 7-foot grizzly bear walking quickly toward him. Well, the man began to run, and yet the grizzly bear was catching up. The man ran faster and faster, and he was getting so scared that tears were flowing down his face. And as he was running, just about to try to get away, at that moment he tripped over a log and fell down. And when he turned around, he looked, and here's the grizzly standing over him with his right arm extended, ready to come down. Right at that very moment, the atheist cried out the name of God. Time stopped. The bear froze. The river was silent. The forest stopped moving. The river stopped moving. And all of a sudden, there was a bright light that shone down from the sky, and a voice that said, you've denied my existence for all of these years. You've taught young people that I do not exist. You have credited creation to a cosmic accident, and now you call my name. Am I to believe? Am I to be convinced that you are a believer? The atheist looked up into the light. He said, I suppose I would be a hypocrite to become a Christian after all these years, but perhaps you could make the bear a Christian. Very well, said the voice. The light went out. The river ran. The sounds of the forest resumed. The bear dropped his right paw. Then he dropped his left paw and put them together, bowed his head and said, Lord, for this food which I'm about to receive, I'm truly thankful. I've often thought the worst holiday to be an atheist is Thanksgiving. Who do you thank? I'm glad I have a God in heaven that I can thank today. He's been good to me. And I know some of you have had trials. You've had difficulties, and you're in transition. But I want to remind you this morning, God is still a good God. He loves you. And I want you to be thankful for who he is and be thankful for what he's done. And then I want to say, thirdly, let's be thankful for one another. Let's be thankful for God's people. Let's be grateful for God's people. So many verses in the Bible speak of it. One is found in Ephesians 1:15. It says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in all my prayers." Paul would often give thanks for the church at Corinth, the church at Philippi, here for the church at Ephesus. He was thankful for God's people. And I think it's important this week that you would stop and that you would think for a moment, who can I be thankful for? Lord, I'm thankful for you, first and foremost. And secondly, I'm thankful for all that you've done. But I believe we need to be thankful for God's people. And I recognize this morning the great joy and privilege that is mine to pastor the Lancaster Baptist Church. And how I want to thank our church family for being a people who hunger for God's word and work together and love and forgive and witness and exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. It's a joy for me to pastor the Lancaster Baptist Church. I believe you ought to find someone here and someone at work and someone at home this week that you can say, I just want to give thanks to you for what you've done. You see, the focus of our gratitude is first on the Lord, then on His provisions, and then on the wonderful people that God has brought into our lives. Now, the foundation of gratitude, that's salvation. No matter whatever happens, if you're saved, you've got something to be thankful for. The focal point of our gratitude, that's the Lord. Notice thirdly this morning, the fruit of gratitude. Now, much like the Holy Spirit brings fruit into our hearts, so a grateful person will be known. Someone that's grateful, they're going to be known. They're not talking about what they see cynically or what they suppose or feel. They're not talking about all the problems or issues. They're not finding the fault of their husband or their wife all the time. Someone that is grateful will have certain fruit coming forth from their lips and from their life. I want to give you four very quickly. The first fruit in a grateful person's heart and life is praise. Praise. And I believe there's not enough praise in our lives today. There's not enough praise in our homes today. There's not enough praise. And I'm not talking about a rock band and people, you know, getting up there and jumping around with a tambourine and then going out after church and gossiping about each other. I'm not talking about a moment of, quote, praise and worship. I'm talking about a life of praise. I'm talking about constantly finding something to praise God for. And you see, the fruit of gratitude will be praise. Now, notice what it said there in Psalm 100 once again. Remember the one I said you might use this week, maybe to read to your family or something? Psalm 100, verse 4. We should be grateful, and grateful Christians praise the Lord. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Notice in your notes, Hebrews 13:15. By Him, therefore, speaking of Christ, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Did you know that when we praise the Lord, we are literally, as believer priests, offering a sacrifice to Him? We're offering the sacrifice of our praise. We're saying, God, You are so good. You are so great. God, I just thank You. And I just want to encourage every one of us this week, let it just be a week where we're just praising the Lord. You see, grateful Christians praise the Lord. Now, sometimes I'm around Christians so much, I'm around preachers so much, I'm around our church family so much that I say things, just churchy talk sometimes, like amen, which means so be it. Praise the Lord, things like that. And sometimes I say it at the wrong time. I was with a couple of unsaved fellas this week, and one of them said, oh, man, tell you what, the Lakers did this and that, and the Lakers won. I said, well, praise the Lord. And he kind of looked at me like, what? But I want to tell you something. It wouldn't hurt you at all. It wouldn't hurt the testimony of Christ if at work this week some old unsaved reprobate heard you say, you know, God's good. Praise the Lord. And there's something you can praise the Lord for. It's amazing to me how people give praise to the Lord for the goofiest thing. I was watching boxing years ago. My wife does not like it when I watch boxing. She doesn't appreciate boxing. She likes Little House on the Prairie, things like that. But how many of you men enjoy watching boxing now and again? Well, but ladies don't always like it. I was watching it. My wife kept saying, why are you watching that? I said, I don't know. It's kind of exciting. A lot of tension built up here. Two big old guys, 200-300 pounds, man, they were just slugging each other in the belly, slugging each other in the face. Blood was going, spit was going. It was neat, man. It was really something. These guys just trying to kill each other for 15 rounds. At the end of it, the winner, they came up to him, they're congratulating him. He goes, I just want to praise the Lord for this. I thought, man, praise the Lord for something else. You just tried to kill the guy for 15 rounds. For 2 weeks prior to this, you're saying how much you hate him, you want to kill him. Now you're just giving God the glory. I'm not sure we should praise the Lord for things like that. But how many of you think there's something you could praise the Lord for tomorrow? Well, the commute. Well, the job. Well, this. Well, that. All right already. How about if we find something to praise the Lord for? Oh, that we would see that a grateful Christian praises the Lord. By the way, ungrateful Christians pain the Lord. Turn, if you would, in your Bible to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. Let's go ahead and turn there this morning. 2 Timothy 3, chapter 1. It's amazing indications of the last days are mentioned right here. A prophetic scripture. And it says in 2 Timothy 3, and I think mature Christians this morning, you ought to focus on this, meditate on it. You ought to pray as I read this, Lord, I don't want to even resemble what I'm about to read. 2 Timothy 3, 1. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, notice it, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. By the way, Massachusetts legalized gay unions this week. By the way, that's a sign of the last times. God says that'll be one of the signs, right along with unthankfulness. There'll be this without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, notice, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power, from such turn away. Now, wait a minute. Someone says, yeah, there's a lot of wickedness, like what you said in Massachusetts, and like this weirdo Michael Jackson and all these things. And you're right. There's a lot of weirdoisms. There's a lot of weird things, so to speak, in this world. Wait a minute. God says, right with that type of sin, he places unthankfulness. And I'm saying that even as a grateful Christian praises the Lord, an ungrateful Christian pains the Lord. He says, you're living just like the reprobate world. And God is looking for Christians this week and every week who will learn how to praise the Lord. I believe praise is one of the fruits of a grateful heart. Secondly, I believe forgiveness is the fruit of a grateful heart. You see, someone who is willing to forgive is someone who's seeing that God is good all the time. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 10, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Paul said sometimes he had to forgive certain things. Now look at verse 11, one of the most powerful verses I've read in a long time. And it says this, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Satan has devices, folks. And Ephesians 4 says, don't give place to the devil. Now, sometimes things will happen in your life with friends, with family members. Some of you are already thinking, I got to see old Uncle Zeke at Thanksgiving. How am I going to handle that? And there's something that maybe has happened that has hurt you or something that was hard. Wait a minute. I want to challenge you this morning as a grateful person to forgive those that have hurt you. You say, you preach this a lot. You know why? I see the result of bitterness a lot. Now notice what it says. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Someone who's harboring bitterness is letting the devil have advantage. They've got you in an arm lock, and they're not letting you go till they get you out of the will of God, you see. Someone said, we are most like beasts when we kill. We are most like men when we judge. And we are most like God when we forgive. And I want to challenge you to be like God this week, to forgive your spouse, to forgive your friend, to forgive that relative. And sometimes it just is going to take a spirit of forgiveness to get through the holidays. At Thanksgiving dinner time, there was a young wife who said out loud to the crowd, who wants to carve the turkey? And her dad said, you carve him. You married him. Sometimes you have that, don't you? Sometimes you have those sharp words and they thought it was funny, but it didn't feel funny to you. And I'm simply saying a grateful person is a person who will forgive. Not only will he praise and forgive, two other things quickly. I believe a grateful person will show faithfulness. Faithfulness. The Bible says, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Hey, listen, we're not here this morning because we're such good Christians. We're here this morning because he's such a great God. And because of that, he's allowing us to be faithful. It's not that I'm so faithful. It's that he is so faithful. And then finally, I believe the fruit of thanksgiving will be seen in giving and in a giving spirit. Now think about that word, thanksgiving. Let's say it together. Thanks. All right. Everybody from this side over, say thanks. Everybody from this side over, say giving. And those of you in the middle can be confused. All right. Here we go. Ready? Ready? Thanks. One more time. Thanksgiving. See, you can't separate it. You can't separate thanks from giving. Someone said you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And I'm not saying today that everyone can do the same, that everyone, I'm just simply saying that everyone can give thanks. we can give thanks. Psalm 116, 17, I will offer to thee the praise of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. You heard about the two ladies that were shopping at the mall. They'd been Christmas shopping all day. They'd been buying this, buying that. They came out of the mall. They had bags in their arms. Man, they were kind of, by this time, kind of had a little bit of an attitude about them. They were trying to get to the car. And as they walked out of the mall, they looked over to the other side of the street, and there was a church with a manger scene in the front of the church. And one lady said to the other, look at that. The churches are trying to get in on this too. Excuse me, I think it sort of started with the church. I think it sort of started with God. I wonder, are you going to let the Lord in on it? Are you going to let the Lord in on Thanksgiving? I think it started with Him. Are you going to remember the Lord at Christmas? I think it's about Him. And I'm just saying, when you're grateful, you don't grumble at giving. When you're grateful, you enjoy the opportunity to give. I wonder this morning, do you have the foundation of gratitude? Do you know the Lord is in your life? Because if you do, from that foundation, you can praise the Lord. I wonder, are you ready this week to focus on the Lord? Oh, you say, well, we've got this plan and that plan. Good. Wait a minute. Let's go ahead and lift the Lord right up as the centerpiece of it all right now. Let's focus on Him. And then think about the fruit of this. Take the outline, put it in your pocket, pull it out, and try to be a person this week of praise. A person this week of forgiveness. A person this week that's faithful. A person this week that is going forth with a giving spirit. And I believe as gratitude permeates our heart, praise will come forth from our lips and our lives will be Christ-honoring lives this week. Let's pray together. Father, thank You that You have been so good to us in loving us and giving us that foundation that allows us to always be grateful. And I want to pray this morning that You would just touch hearts right now and meet needs. And Lord, I ask You to do what I could never do, and that is to convict and touch and change hearts. And Lord, we pray that You would work and that there would be gratitude springing forth today. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed for just a moment. It's something all of us should desire. And yet in the Bible this morning, there's a verse that tells us exactly what the will of God is. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Now, there are some things about which we may wonder, but there is one thing we can know for certain, and that is that God's will is for you and for me this morning, no matter what's going on around us, that we would be thankful to Him and that we would honor Him from our heart. And so this verse that we read a moment ago is not a suggestion. It is a commandment based upon the fact that it is the will of God that in everything we give thanks. Now, who wants to be honest this morning and say, "Pastor Chapel, sometimes it's hard to give thanks for certain things." Anybody want to be honest enough about that? Sometimes it's hard, but it's always right. I believe that's why our first president, George Washington, made a proclamation to all Americans. And he said, "I do recommend that to be devoted by the people of these states, each of us should give thanks for the great and glorious God, who is the author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, and that we may unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country." I believe our first president, George Washington, was not only a born-again Christian man, but he was a man who had studied the Bible enough to know what the will of God was. And it was the will of God that all Americans would be a thankful people. Johnny Erickson Tata, a quadriplegic author, wrote these words, "Giving thanks is not a matter of feeling thankful. It is a matter of obedience." So many Christians today do what feels right to them. They are thankful when things are feeling pretty good. But God says, "I don't want you simply to give me your thanks when things are feeling good for you. I want you to just be in the practice of realizing that I'm good to you all of the time." And God says, "In everything, give thanks." I want to speak to you this morning on this subject. Thank you, Lord. I believe this morning, as we enter this week, this should be a week where we are giving thanks to the Lord in a very unique and in a very educated kind of a way as we follow the teachings of the Word of God. Notice first of all this morning, the foundation of gratitude. Those of you that are following in the outline, I want you to see with me today that there's a reason a Christian in a wheelchair or with sickness or with trial can still give thanks. There's a foundation in the life of a Christian that other men and women do not possess. There's some foundational truth that we understand that enables us to give thanks all the time. Notice the foundation listed here in the first place is the salvation of the Lord. It is His salvation that allows us to give thanks. Listen, this morning, this service is not all about you and it's not all about me. It's all about Him. And it's because of Him that we gather here this morning. And it's He alone who can save us from our sin. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, these simple words, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Paul thought about salvation as a gift, and by the way, it is a gift. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when you think about what it took to purchase that gift, that Jesus Christ would die upon a cross and shed His blood, that He would allow Roman soldiers to place a thorny crown upon His brow and thrust a spear through His side, and that He would do that voluntarily for you and for me, and that His blood became the atonement for sin, then we must say this morning with the Apostle Paul, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." 1 Corinthians 15:57. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Mrs. Hudson, I'll never forget hearing your husband not only preach there in North Carolina, but then sing that song, "I'm on the winning side." And someone might wonder, how could someone so sick with cancer and under such a burden sing, "I'm on the winning side"? Because, ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus Christ is your Savior, you are always on the winning side. That's why I put the verse in your notes this morning, 1 Corinthians 15:57. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Some of you this morning are bearing some heavy burdens, and I've been praying for you. But I want to remind you this morning that in Christ, there is victory to be found. No matter what happens, no matter what someone may do, no matter what sickness may come, we are on the winning side. In fact, turn, if you would, back to Psalm 95 this morning and verse number 1. Psalm 95 and Psalm 100. We'll be at both of those in this message this morning. Psalm 95 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all kings. And I believe he is a great God because he is the rock of our salvation. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I thank God that as a young man on April the 5th, 1972, 4289 Yerba Buena Way in San Jose, California, when I knelt down there and accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I received the greatest gift that any person could ever receive. I was thinking this past week about my wife too, Brother Jim, and thanking God for Terry and these 23 years that God's allowed us to serve together. And I was thinking about the way that my wife came to know Christ as Savior. She was not raised in a Christian home, though her mom's saved now and here this morning. But she was not raised in a Christian home. She was raised also in a Catholic upbringing and not always in church. And there was a day when a man came by her house there off of Ford Road in San Jose, California, and knocked on the door and said, "Tomorrow, we'd like to have you ride our Sunday school bus, and you can come and be with all the other boys and girls and learn about Jesus." And they offered her some type of food if she'd come, and she got a little bit interested in maybe coming to church on the bus. But her dad wasn't really up to it, and sometimes when he drank, he was not as friendly and kind as he could have been. And he said, "I'm not going to let you go to that church." And so the bus came the next day, but she couldn't ride. But thank God there was a loving man. Larry Harper was his name. He worked for General Electric, but that wasn't his real calling in life. His real calling in life was serving Jesus. And so he came the next Saturday and knocked on the door again. He said, "Want to ride the bus tomorrow? There'll be some food and some fun. You'll hear about Jesus." And she wanted to come so badly, but again, her dad wouldn't let her ride the bus. And as a seventh grade girl, her heart was so heavy, she wanted to go to church. Thank God, on the third day, the third Saturday, that bus captain came back and he invited her again. And the next morning, by the grace of God, she was allowed to go to Sunday school. She went to Sunday school on the bus. After Sunday school was over, she thought it was all over. She went back to the bus and waited for someone to take her home. She didn't realize there was something called church after Sunday school. And one of the ushers came and said, "What are you doing on this bus? You need to go to church." And she went into church, and for the first time, she heard about a place called heaven where Jesus lives. And she heard about a place called hell where those without Christ will spend all of eternity. And in her heart, she knew that she needed Jesus as her Savior. She knew she did not want to spend eternity in hell. She wanted to know more about how she could be in heaven, but she was too afraid when they stood and gave the invitation to walk to the front at the end. And so she didn't walk down to the front. But thank God that Tuesday night, someone came over to her house and someone opened up the Bible and told her about a gift that even a little bus kid could enjoy, even a little bus child could receive. You didn't have to be raised up in a church. You didn't have to have all the benefits of that. If you would, by faith, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, they told her that you could receive this gift of salvation. And my wife, as a seventh grade girl, prayed to receive Christ as her Savior. I know she's thankful for that gift. I'm thankful for that gift. I hope you're thankful for the gift of salvation today. It's the foundation of our gratitude. And if you've never accepted Christ as Savior, I would encourage you this morning to put your faith in Jesus Christ alone as your Savior, the one who will take you to heaven for all of eternity. Romans 6:17 says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you." Sometimes people say, "Why, at Lancaster Baptist, they make so much about doctrine. I wish they'd make more about people." I want to tell you something, friend. Without the doctrine of Christ, people don't get saved. And you'll see that verse there in your notes. But God be thanked. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from them, from the heart, that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. I'm simply thanking God this morning that someone showed me the doctrine that all men are sinners. Someone showed me the doctrine that Jesus shed his blood. Someone showed me the doctrine that Jesus rose again on the third day. And when I understood it, by faith I received it into my heart and I was saved. And I simply say the foundation of our gratitude is our salvation. Quickly, it's secondly our security. God offers security to every believer. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things." By the way, this verse helped me as a young Christian. It might help you. You might want to see it in your notes and underline it in your Bible. Sometimes the devil will fight you in the issue in the area of salvation and eternal security. Here's a verse that helped me. "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Listen now. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Paul said, "I know whom I have believed." By the way, do you know whom you have believed? He's talking about the Lord. He said, I put my trust not in a church, not in the baptistry. I have believed on the Lord, and I am persuaded. I am fully convinced that He, the Lord, not the church, the Lord, is able to keep that which I've committed. Now think about it. When someone accepts Christ as Savior, what are they committing to the Lord? They're not committing to the Lord just their well-being. They're committing their whole soul, their life, their eternal destiny. And Paul said, I'm convinced that He is able to keep that which I put into that safe deposit box. God alone has the key. No one can take my soul from Him. He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him until that day when He comes again. I'm glad that being saved is not up to my own merit. Now, how many of you, to be honest, would say, there's been a time in my life since I accepted Christ as my Savior that I have sinned at least one time? How many wives would say, I know of several others my husband probably forgetting right now. Aren't you glad that being saved isn't dependent upon your always being perfect? Aren't you thankful that the perfect Son of God saved your soul, you see? And because of His salvation and because of His security, we always have a reason to give thanks. Not only His salvation and His security, but quickly, His steadfastness. Lamentations 3:22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because of His compassions which fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That's why every one of us as His children need to be rooted and grounded in Christ and abounding with thanksgiving in Him. The foundation of gratitude is the finished work of the cross. And when Jesus is your Savior, you've always got something to be thankful for. But notice secondly this morning, the focus of gratitude. As we enter this week of Thanksgiving, what is the focus? And I know what a lot of men are focusing on. Football. And a lot of ladies are focusing on the right turkey and food. And those are all wonderful things. But what are we really focusing on this week? What are some things God wants us to focus on? I want you to see, first of all, that we must focus our gratitude and be grateful, first of all, for the Lord. Listen, not for what He does, but for who He is. Now let's turn to one more chapter, Psalm 100. And this one, many of you men might want to remember. Put a little card here in your Bible, Psalm 100. Maybe this would be a Thanksgiving for some of you when you'd gather your family around and read the Bible for a few minutes before you eat. Maybe you'd pray a prayer of thanks. This would be the year to start a Christian tradition in your home. Maybe for some of you, even with unsaved relatives, you'd say, if you don't mind, we'd like to just take a moment and put a perspective on this that's important to our family. And so here's something that maybe you can use this week, Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. By the way, that's why we give thanks. There's no such thing as a self-made man. It's He that has made us and not we ourselves. And we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter